Matthew 24, verses 3 to 14. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." So there's one of those passages that we read and sometimes struggle to understand. But I just want to try and open it up a bit for you to get a clearer understanding of what Jesus is trying to say through those words. A few years ago, you may remember, it was a very, very orange sky over Britain. And some of the newspapers made a big deal out of this. Orange sky, what could that mean? And what it actually meant was, it was caused by smoke from forest fires in Portugal, and possibly also a hurricane whipping up dust from the Sahara. So these things came together and caused the sky over large parts of Britain to go an orange colour. But it's interesting, isn't it, how things like that can happen and it can stir up like superstitious feelings. Ooh, is this a terrible thing that's coming upon us now? And that's been the way human beings have been ever since, you know, human beings first came about. We'd read things into such experiences. A common view of Christians is that we love to be giving the idea of the end is nigh. I went on a demonstration a few weeks ago, and when we met in Parliament Square, there was a man there, standing there with it did just like this, with a board on him on both sides saying, "The end is nigh." Not even the end is near, the end is nigh. It's God obviously still speaks in that old sort of language, rather than having updated the way that he talks, certainly to that man anyway. It's a weird old thing that actually our 24-hour news cycle tends to bombard us with negative news all the while, and so it can cause us to feel as though the world is getting worse and worse and worse all the while. But of course, the one thing that the news isn't very interested in is when people are nice to each other. When good things happen, because that doesn't sell newspapers. It doesn't get people talking and tweeting on Twitter. I point blank refuse to go on Twitter anymore. The only tweets I hear are the birds in the trees, because I can't be bothered with the other sort of tweets. So it can cause us to be really negative. And I don't know whether you can see this picture here, and it's a man doing a survey with somebody. He's gone up to a door, and the question he's asking of the person is, "And finally, would you say your fear of crime has increased?" Well, the person hasn't opened the door, and you can see their eyes looking through the letterbox. So it's probably fair to say, yes, their fear of crime has increased. But the reality is, over the last 50 years, all crime, including violent crime, has stayed at basically the same level. But our fear of crime has gone up over that time because we know so much more about the things that are happening, the negative things that are happening. And so we have to filter. I don't know about you, but I have to filter how much of the news I watch. Otherwise, it can become something that starts to dominate the way you think and the way that you feel. Over the years, we might think that in some ways, the last few decades have been incredibly damaging in terms of casualties of war. But if we go back to the next one, please. World War One, it's estimated that between 17 to 20 million people died in that war. 17 to 20 million. In World War Two, it was over 60 million. 3% of the population of the world are estimated to have died in the Second World War. Now, thank God that that hasn't happened to the same degree since. Although these wars were undoubtedly horrendous, actually, the world's population was so much bigger by the 20th century that even though that number of people died, you were still less likely to die as a soldier or as a civilian in the 20th century than you were in any century previous to that. Since civilization really started. Now, Germany, of course, has suffered immense casualties of war over the last few decades because, essentially, they started both of those wars for different reasons. But if we look back at the 30 Years' War, now this was in 1618 to 1648, and that started because the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire wanted to force all of Europe to become Catholics. And so there was this religious war. And in the 30 Years' War, 20% of the German population died. And in World War II, almost 11% of the German people died. But of course, the population was that much bigger that actually was a smaller percentage of their total population. Briefly, we want to look at religious persecution. We'll all have heard of ISIS, and some of you may have heard of Boko Haram, which is particularly focused in Nigeria. Now, they have killed thousands of people, thousands of Christians. But the interesting thing is, they've killed many more Muslims than Christians. And it's important to recognize that they are not regarded as good Muslims in that sense. The Muslim people are as much against things like ISIS and Boko Haram as anyone else is. And if we look at the next screen, the death toll is thought to be similar to that of the Emperor Diocletian. Now, he was an emperor in the 3rd century, and he particularly persecuted Christians. It's thought that ancient reports said that Diocletian killed 17,000 Christians just in 1 month, 17,000 Christians. And he executed 20,000 believers just in his home city, his capital city of Nicomedia, which is in modern Turkey. Now, these numbers are comparable to what ISIS was doing at its strongest. But of course, the difference is that in the 3rd century, Diocletian was persecuting the church. The church was probably about 1 million people. Whereas today, we estimate the church to be about 2.5 billion people. So the numbers may be similar, but of course the church is vastly bigger than it was when Diocletian was persecuting. So very briefly, we're going to have a look at a list of different plagues and famines. Not a comprehensive list. The first one, Ebola. We think Ebola killed about just over 11,000 people. COVID-19, the last figures I could find, that there's been about 870,000 people have died across the world. HIV/AIDS is thought to have killed about 1.7 million people, but it's done so over since the 1980s. So that's been a much longer period. The bubonic plague is thought to have killed 15 million people. The Spanish flu, the estimate here is vast, so it's either between 17 million, the lowest estimate, to 50 million as the highest estimate. But certainly millions of people died in what we call the Spanish flu, which was about 100 years ago. But interestingly, the colonization of the Americas, that is North and South America, that's thought to have caused the death of 50 million people. And that was particularly because of Western diseases, measles, smallpox, flu, and whooping cough. These diseases that we didn't realize, or that Westerners didn't realize when they went to the Americas, actually they were taking these diseases with them. And actually it's thought to have killed 50 million native tribes in the Americas, North and South. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say about all this worry about plagues and famine and the end of the world? As we read earlier, Jesus said, "You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are but the beginning of birth pains." What's Jesus saying there? Don't be alarmed, don't get alarmed by world events. Matthew's gospel was probably written about 80 to 90 AD. In other words, about 50 to 60 years after Jesus' death. And that was an incredibly important time because 10 to 20 years before that, we had in AD 70, the destruction of Jerusalem, including the temple by the Romans. Now for the Jews, the destruction of the temple, it was like the destruction of the heart of their faith. If the temple's been destroyed, how can we continue to have faith? How can we continue without a focus for our worship as Jewish people? And after the destruction of the temple, in 73 to 74 AD, the remaining Jewish zealots, they were the ones still fighting for the independence of the Jewish nation from Rome. They were, you probably can't see it, but this picture here is a picture of Masada. And Masada is a fortress on top of an outcrop of rock. And the remaining Jewish people went up to this fortress and they hid themselves away. They took some food with them and water and they hid themselves there and thought, the Roman Empire, the army, will never be able to get to us. But that there is a siege tower. And the Romans built 75-foot high siege towers and then got slaves to build a ramp up the side of Masada and then forced the slaves to push this siege ramp up the hill, up against the side of the Masada fortress. And then soldiers climbed over and got into the fortress. And they breached the walls of the fortress. In the end, 960 Jewish people, including children, killed themselves, I'm guessing their parents probably killed them, to avoid capture by the Roman Empire. Now I say all of that because Jesus is saying, in the context of all of this horrendous events that have gone on, and Matthew is reporting it in his gospel, recognizing all the awful things that have happened, and they're saying, don't be alarmed. Don't think that this is the end. Instead, it all depends on your perspective. Matthew was writing after all these world-shattering events, but he's reminding his readers of Jesus' words. This is just the very beginning of a long, drawn-out process. And as those of you who have had children know, childbirth may start, but you don't know when it's going to end. And some of you may have thought when you were having children, will this ever end? But it did. And in the same way, Matthew is reminding his readers of Jesus' words, saying, the end will come one day, but you do not know when it'll come. So don't get drawn into wondering about dates and times. So don't get alarmed by world events. And secondly, don't assume that things will always get worse and worse. Remember that terrible wars and disasters have happened down through history. We mustn't give in to this idea that things are worse now than they ever have been. It isn't true. It isn't true. People, human beings, have always engaged in wars and rumours of wars and all sorts of awful behaviour down through history. Finally, Jesus gives only one sign of the end, right at the end of the verses that we read a moment or two ago. And that sign of the end is, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So Jesus is saying, if you want a sign of the end coming, when everyone has had the chance to hear and respond to my good news of the love and the care that God has for every person in this world, that's the only sign I'm going to give you, says Jesus. Don't listen to the warmongers and those that are giving negative pictures all the while of what's going on in our world. These things have always happened. God's love, God's redemption, God's reaching out to rescue our world, that's the only sign that Jesus says he will give us. Amen.